Welcome to MC
Who?
The official podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is 27 for more, two more days, Justin.
Oh, and I am, my birthday isn't for another month, Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love...
Oh, the time to think of something.
Then this show is for you.
Oh, man. I'm off my game today.
Oh, I threw you a real curveball there. That was a tricky one. Hey, everyone. My birthday's in 2 days. The world is having a rough time, and we're hoping that you're all staying safe. Today, we have a very exciting guest. We have Adam Helscher with us. Adam, say hello to everyone at home.
Hello. Hi. I'm much older than both of these two, and now I feel it. Adam Helscher.
That's so good. Adam, talk a little bit about yourself. What do you do? What do you like to do? What do you not like to do? Just pick one of those.
I'm an improviser. I'm a comic, a writer, an actor, a lot of things that don't get you paid. And then what does get me paid is I'm a floor manager at a glass shop that sells a lot of people things that they smoke out of. So that's my
phenomenal.
That's my give me money job, which I like. It's
such a fascinating one. I love it. Adam, have you ever read a comic book?
I love comic books. I've been reading comic books for as long as I can honestly remember. Probably the first things I ever read were the X-Men comics, because my brother had them, and he had kind of grown slightly out of it by the time I was like learning to really like read the stuff that wasn't Cat in the Hat and stuff. So he gave me the early X-Men comics he had, and I just freaking devoured them. Now, this was in the 90s, so I thought all comics were just about giant boobs and thongs. But as I read the older stuff, I learned that no, there's character development. It's nice. It's good.
For sure. Yeah. Just nothing but giant boobs and giant biceps, like
huge biceps,
arms the size of your body, the torso.
Every single one of them too. It's like Nightcrawler, who's supposed to be sleek and thin, is just jacked to shit. Like every freaking comic panel.
So good. So X-Men had a big impact on you. Do you have a favorite Marvel character in general?
Yeah, I do. Professor Xavier is definitely my favorite. I think that he's got such an incredibly compelling story to himself, but also just the fact that he goes and collects all of the people that I ended up caring so much about and finding, you know, he's the center to almost every one of them finding their way into humanity as opposed to like against humanity. That type of storyline is always very compelling. He's the Mr. Feeny of the X-Men universe.
Yes. I've never heard that comparison.
And Mutant now, Meets World.
It's all I want.
Mutant Meets World.
So good.
Mutant Meets World.
Mutant Meets World.
I would watch that. That's great.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
I would love that show.
Disney Plus needs to be listening to this podcast right now.
I'm sure their lawyers already are.
Well, they own both those properties. It's kismet.
It's so good. Oh man. Okay, that's gonna be a bonus episode. we're gonna write the script, the three of us, for a Mutant Meets World episode.
Yes.
That's
please.
That sounds incredibly easy. First of all.
It really does. It writes itself.
Jean Grey's Topanga, that's done. That's a given.
All right, Adam, I think we'll go ahead and roll and see what we got here. So if you want to pull out that handy-dandy dice app on your phone.
Yeah, recent guest Chris Stoker blew the lid wide open.
Wide open. Okay. Not everybody owns a D20, so.
Okay, I got it up.
Okay, go ahead and roll and let us know what you get.
Sorry, I have to do this thing. Da-da-da-da-da. 17.
17. Cool.
Adam, go ahead and announce who we got there.
Who we get? What? I don't know this character at all. Bill the Lobster.
Bill the Lobster.
This could not be more kismet, I think. This is perfect. So, yeah, first reaction. First reaction, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bill the Lobster is an epic character of a lobster that was about to be consumed in like a Red Lobster. It was one of those front aquarium lobsters that people pass by, but he was able to lead a revolution and get some butter-based superpowers that he uses to save other lobsters and seafaring creatures.
That's phenomenal. Adam, first reaction?
First reaction to the name?
Yep.
Well, I know exactly who this character is. All right. I don't need any bullshit. I know this character. Bill the Lobster is a man who was swimming off the shore of Nagasaki when the bomb fell. And at that exact moment, he was attacked by a lobster. The radiation from the bomb fused the two of them together. And he is now a living human-sized lobster man. And he has very few things can hurt him, but also he can't feel.
Oh, just can't feel. Damn lobster shell. Phenomenal. I'm going to admit, I don't know much about Bill the Lobster. When I was kind of looking for real deep cut characters from the comics, I found him on a list, and I threw him on my list, and I said, I don't want to know more. I'd rather just be surprised. So I would love either of those stories that the two of you just said. but let's go do a little more research and find out exactly who Bill the Lobster is. And
I want Andy's to be true.
I know, me too. So badly. So badly. We'll find out right after this. And we're back.
Woo!
All right, so Bill the Lobster, not much to read about here, which is honestly, in my opinion, some of the more fun episodes that we've had are the ones that we can just really stretch our legs and create our own stuff.
Our claws.
So Bill the Lobster, first appearance, stretch our claws, first appearance in...
shut up,
First appearance in 1987 in Fallen Angels number 2. So let me start by telling you, Fallen Angels was actually a group of superhuman, like an adolescent team, basically, mostly comprised of mutants. But basically, they just worked as like street thugs or street like thieves, all working under the mutant criminal, the Vanisher. So just a real Fagin type guy, I guess. That's his name, right? Fagin from
Oliver, yeah, from right? Oliver.
Gotcha. I thought you were meaning like it was like a demon-esque type thing, like a fae, and it was like I was like, ooh, I didn't even know that word. That's
so yeah, Bill the Lobster. Has an interesting story and not much to it.
But Bill the Lobster was the name on the list, but it kind of, he goes hand and claw and claw with another lobster.
He does. Bill and Don. Bill and Don, both lobsters, both taken to be used in scientific experiments by two.
And oddly enough, students. This is not a cartoon that was being shot on the WB as a part of the Animaniacs, like it freaking sounds like it is.
That's very true. But I have some thoughts on that when we get to the actual story ideas part of this. But so two college students, Raymond or Ramon Lefisich, or American pronunciation, Lipschitz, and his colleague Tadashi Fujita, brilliant college students. Basically,
American pronunciation, Ted.
They are infatuated and obsessed with Marvel Girl, Jean Grey of the X-Men, and they try to basically make some sort of cybernetic implants and whatnot. They're working cybernetics to try and enhance random people, I guess. Like, their idea is to work on random people and to give them superpowers like Marvel Girl. But they, of course, start their experiments on lobsters, on Bill and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually grants Bill and Dawn the abilities greater intelligence and strength than a normal lobster.
Lobsters are powerless.
Lobsters are already pretty strong. Pretty strong.
It's very true. I mean, these.
But they're still lobster sized. I want everybody to get this. We've looked at the pictures of them. They are not large human sized lobsters. They are still just a little bit larger than an average lobster.
This is very, very true. They are 10 pounds and about a foot long. So Bill and Dawn end up escaping this like lab experiment, whatever, with the help of Gomi. Now, Gomi is the lab assistant. He is the younger cousin of Raymond or Ramon, and he's treated like just like utter shit, basically. Gomi in Japanese means junk. So they literally nickname their lab assistant Junk.
And that's a nickname, yeah. What's his real name?
His real name is Alphonsus Lipschitz. Actually, hang on. Let me double check that. Alphonsus. Yeah, it is the Lefisich.
Well, Lipschitz. Oddly enough, people don't know this, but Alphonsus in English means rectum worm. So it really was one way or the other.
Yeah. Really kind of an upgrade. Really kind of an upgrade there.
Maybe, just slightly.
Yeah.
So, when we were looking at pictures of all these guys, let me just finish the story here. There's not much more. Gomi finally realizing that they are maybe being treated poorly, decides to escape. Gomi actually gets cybernetics as well. And he gets a destructive and uncontrollable bolt of kinetic energy. And he uses that power to then go and escape. He takes Bill and Dawn with him because he's not heartless. Mm-hmm. And together the three of them go off and just run away and live in the world. They end up joining the Fallen Angels, which is how they, of course, come into that comic. They have many adventures with the Fallen Angels. Of course, one of them being tragic, where Dawn, the lobster, is accidentally stepped on by fellow Fallen Angel Devil Dinosaur, who we know from our Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur episodes. Devil Dinosaur accidentally steps on Dawn, the lobster, because he's a foot fucking long and 10 pounds.
And Devil Dinosaur is a dinosaur.
And he's a freaking dinosaur. So, of course, that's going to happen. Then it ends up being just Bill and Gomi kind of together. Now, I have to start by saying I already feel the need, the pull to gender swap Gomi, making he a she. I really have like a... with Adam's help, I remembered the movie that I was thinking of. Dunstan checks in the old Disney movie with the girl and the chimpanzee, and that's just all I'm thinking about now.
Is it called Dunstan Checks In? Am I remembering correctly? Because it's hiding out in at a hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Dunstan is the monkey.
So
and she I think lives in a hotel that's like in an extended stay hotel, if I'm correct about it. And then she gains, I believe, a psychic attachment to the monkey, similar to the Devil Dinosaur story.
Yeah,
I think what I'm thinking here is and you guys hit me up with your ideas. I'm feeling this is going to be a zany movie. All kinds of craziness and hijinks, I think.
No, Christopher Nolan's serious.
I don't even know that we need the Fallen Angels, personally. I don't know. I mean, we could find ways to include them if we want, but I really like this idea of it just being Gomi and Bill on the run from, like, an evil lab. Well, we have Dawn for the first half of the movie.
Dawn gets stepped on by a dinosaur.
Exactly. But they're just on the run from an evil corporation trying to use them for lab experiments.
I'm totally with you on this. I say fuck Don entirely, right? Don is not a part of our movie story. He's a part of that, like, 33% that gets left out. So, in my opinion, you do Bill and you do Gomi. You do the story of Bill is in a tank in a laboratory. Gomi is the one that feeds him every day. He takes care of him. The two lab people who are assholes, they come in and they're jerks and everything every day. And Comey constantly is telling them, don't do this. These animals have feelings. Like, and he's subtly getting these, like, psychic messages from Bill, because the more they do this to Bill, the more Bill gains the psychic abilities. So he's giving him subtle psychic messages to free him. And that's what gives Gomi the knowledge that he should do it. And in the process of freeing him, his uncle comes in and sees him doing this, gets pissed, and says, if you want to free my experiment, you'll become my experiment. And throws him down and does his thing on him. And whenever he does his thing on him, he shoots the giant blast. It blows up. He grabs Bill. He runs out. And then you see, bam, Bill the Lobster.
That's so good. I love it. I love all of that.
I love the idea, too, of just these, like, quiet, bubbly whispers starting to creep into her head, like, throughout the experiments. Free me.
She's walking around and she's like, man, I could go for some brine shrimp. Damn, anybody else want a brine shrimp sandwich?
That's so good. I love it. I think I wonder if we could, because I love that, and I love that Bill is pretty much the only lobster. What if, though, the movie is basically like them, like, on the run, and then but what if Bill has a long lost brother, Don.
Yes.
And Don is in danger or whatnot. Like, Don basically is taken by the lab. And so they could run and they could hide. And I think, like, maybe, like, our midpoint turn is that they get away successfully and they can just go live on their own and live a happy life now. But this is when Bill becomes the hero, right? He's not just Bill the Lobster, he's Bill the Hero Lobster, and he goes back, and he has to go back to save Don, his older brother, who's always kind of treated him like shit, too, or something like that.
Perilous.
What if his older brother had never had the experiment done to him, but both of them were taken at the same time? So they were doing the experiment to Bill while Don was in another tank. So when she took Bill, she had no idea that Don also, you know, needed to be taken because he wasn't giving any psychic messages.
Right.
But then Bill tells her, no, Don's still there. We got to go back. When they go back, the whole thing's gone. So now they have to figure out where they went, where this lady's uncle is, where the brother of this lobster is, and there's your story. There's your three acts.
I like it.
Don the control group lobster.
And as they go, Don gets the experiments done to him, so now he's in whatever other lab with these experiments done to him, like wondering where his brother is. But you don't find that out until the very end of the movie, whenever the credits are rolling, and then a little psychic message goes up into Gomi's head, where it's like, man, I could use another brine shrimp sandwich.
I think we also we still have the opportunity to incorporate a lobster revolution at a Red Lobster if we wanted to.
Oh, it's got to happen.
This story demands something like that. It almost demands it to be like a pinnacle action moment. Like they've done something where they've given like a cheetah superpowers or some crap, and the cheetah's coming after him, or some other big fish. I don't know, something that might go better with lobsters. And they're gonna attack, and then Bill uses his psychic power to get all of the lobsters at a Red Lobster or a zoo or something. to like pile out and start jumping on the bad guy.
Yes. I think I wanted to take place at a Red Lobster just so we can have lobsters armed with tiny like forks as they attack the chefs and patrons at the Red Lobster.
That is, yes, agreed.
That's so good. So let's talk about let's get a, like a little bit of a idea of our villains here. Are they so? Are the villains really just evil scientists who don't have powers themselves? Why did they start this like this lab experiment and whatnot? Is it an obsession with perhaps like Captain Marvel or something like that?
I love the idea, since in the Wikipedia it had it very specific that they were obsessed with Captain Marvel. Miss Marvel, not Captain Marvel. They were obsessed with Miss Marvel.
So they added Marvel Girl, Jean Grey. Marvel Girl. Of course, she's not in the MCU yet, so I was just trying to think of a suitable replacement for her.
Right, I gotcha. Well, I think the idea of them being obsessed with powers and giving powers to humans as opposed to just waiting to see who is born with powers becomes a really good, compelling bad guy story, especially if they are doing it without the other people's consent. And also doing it in a controlling way where they're trying to like create their own superpowered army. That it also gives a really serious tone to what is otherwise a very silly movie. So you have the serious tone of like kidnapping and forced powers and brainwashing and all that stuff. At the same time, you have like the moment where they get a giant army of crustaceans to attack people at Red Lobster. So
right. I'm picturing these evil scientists more like the wet bandits or something along those lines. Basically, just these two like they're brilliant, but it's, when it comes to the crime side of things, they're just not good at it at all.
I'm pretty positive I just had a gigantic brainstorm.
Please,
because who else does exactly what these guys are doing? Mr. Sinister.
Oh yeah, That'd be great, right? Actually. What if, okay, because I don't want to get missed. Okay, what if, because I feel like if it's actually Mr. Sinister or whatever, then it's you know, higher stakes and that's maybe too serious. But what if these two, like, so we have this unnamed lab this whole time, and it's just these two scientists working on their own, like, splicing DNA and all this kind of stuff. Towards the end, or towards the fourth act, or something like that, we get we actually see, you know, Essex Corporation or whatever it is, and we realize, oh shit, like they are scientists at this one lab working for
Mr. Sinister,
working on these like DNA splicing and genetic you know, alterations and things like that, and that's, we could introduce Mr. Sinister. I like that.
That's, I love it. Cool. I also love that there'd be a scene where these two bumbling idiots are like, "You're so sinister. You're so sinister."
That's so good. Awesome. Well, we're done.
What do we have in order? I feel like we jumped around.
Let's break down the story just a little bit more here. So I like the idea of having a prologue. I think the prologue could be just Bill and Dawn both getting, like, we just have like this undersea life of them, you know, in the ocean or whatever, and then they get captured. I think that's where we have our title card, Bill the Lobster.
It starts as like a nature documentary.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's so good.
Damn near. Yes. Oh my God. It absolutely starts as a, if they are following them with the thing, even have the people in the wetsuits.
Yes.
Like down to the whole thing and then capturing them because it's scientists.
Yeah.
So they're doing a scientific documentary on this life, on like the whole experiment. Like, it could literally be them filming the experiment that they're starting when they capture these two crustaceans.
So are we seeing it from the point of view of Bill? Like, is if he's our protagonist, are we seeing... is he our protagonist, or is he more of, like, our... I don't know.
Gomi is our protagonist.
Okay.
Bill is our best friend. And he's also the guy who Gomi saves up top, starting the whole storyline. So I think we do see it from, like, the camera angle's perspective. We don't hear Bill talk or anything because he doesn't have the ability to yet.
Okay.
So, like, we don't hear that until after we've met Gomi, we see him feeding Bill, we have the whole opening montage of who the fuck is Gomi.
I feel like Gomi is also maybe the camera person, so that whenever the scientists are like, no, get the shot over here, like, they can be really rude to Gomi.
That's a good, great idea.
That's so good. And maybe Gomi is... Can we say that Gomi is more interested in like the actual, like, the nature side of things, the wildlife side of things? So maybe she is doing her own, like, little documentary narrator voice, and then they're like, you idiot, focus up, we have to, you know, grab them now or whatever, and it kind of interrupts the whole beautiful narration happening at the beginning of the movie.
Right. Like, you said you wouldn't hurt them. They don't feel anything. They're lobsters. Boom. Blackout.
Yes. Bill the lobster. Bill. And then we have them swimming around, and we pan out, and it's just Bill swimming around inside of the tank. And we see Gomi. She's out of the wetsuit now, and she's kind of like looking at inside the glass. And we had another scene of her and her, technically it's cousin, but I like the idea that it's her mean uncle instead.
Yeah.
I like mean uncle because mean uncle's a trope that people understand.
It's such a, yeah. So her mean uncle, I'm going to say, Ramon. What do we think? Ramon. Mean uncle Ramon, is, you know, we get another scene with them right here at the top of really just establishing, you know, character and kind of her wants and you know why she's working here as the lab assistant, you know, to kind of like she's just like an intern or whatever, and she's like wanting this to be a step in the direction of becoming some sort of like wildlife like preserver or something like that. But you know, this lab, this job at the lab that her uncle got her is like gonna maybe like help her start her career.
It's at Essex Lab, right? So it's like
big deal.
It's an incredibly famous, incredibly old form. You know, they've been around forever. She wants to get a step up. This is the best way to do it. So, you know, even though this lab doesn't seem to be what she wants it to be, she's gonna do the job.
Something that we established, I think off screen, or off mic, was, the idea that this all takes place in Japan, right? So I like the idea that the Essex Corporation and Essex Lab and all that is in Japan, and it's So Gomi, you know, all these people are Japanese, basically. I like the idea that this could be completely dubbed even for an American audience.
I was thinking the same thing. I think there should be a foreign language film. I think it should be in Japanese.
Yeah.
And honestly, the director should be a Japanese director. And I would actually think that maybe we have a little bit of the moments of the actual, like, the suited monster type of thing.
Oh, yes.
Because of the genetic, you know, and how they're trying to create these. We could even have a giant lobster at the end. We could have or whatever animal eats lobsters, which would be explained at some point in an evil conversation between the two. But I think down to the bits, like, it should feel like a Japanese monster movie if, you know, the storyline find in the Marvel comics is all Japanese characters.
For sure. I think the source material definitely lends itself to that, and I love that idea. I love that we could get to the point where perhaps Bill, even if it's just for like that one moment, like he has to get even more spliced and whatnot, and he like mutates into this giant kind of like, you know. What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Adam?
I think I have a great idea on this. Instead of him having to mutate, He uses his psychic ability along with Dawn, who they rescue, and together they use the psychic ability to gather all of the lobsters out of the water, and they form a giant mech lobster, and that giant mech lobster fights the giant monster at the end.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
A lobster zord.
Lobster zord with Bill and Dawn in the helm.
As the eyes.
They're doing all the arm movements from Power Rangers.
I also looked up what eats lobsters and seals is one of the answers here. Perfect. So if we wanted
a giant seal. Congratulations. We created the idea.
Perfect. It's this horrifying, like, Ursula at the end of Little Mermaid, like, just huge seal creature. Do seals
the
have
seal
tusks?
Seal emerges out of the water. All the water's pouring off of its, like, its slick skin. And as it comes up, you hear, "Cursed by a rose on the grave."
as the lobsters are just growing taller and taller. It's so good. Okay, I love it. I love it. So all right. So we have Gomi in the beginning here. We establish her relationship with her uncle, and then we have her. You know, he says like, don't get attached to those lobster, that lobster or whatever. You know, it's keep this professional. If you ever want a job, you know, and whatever. If you want a good recommendation, you know, I have the power to take all that away from you and whatnot.
So does Gomi then name the lobsters, especially after we have her
definitely
being told not to get attached to them?
Definitely, yeah, I think so. That's so good.
And the lobster's named after her dad, who was the brother to the asshole.
That's right. Yeah.
Bill and
so
Ramon.
Bill is her dad. Don doesn't get named till later because Don doesn't have, you know, the abilities yet. So Don gets named later, and Don can be someone that helps her but dies in the movie.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I think Don has to die in the movie by getting stepped on.
Yeah, it'll be sad.
It's gotta happen like that. So we have our first act of kind of her going, you know, just basically they keep taking Bill and experimenting on Bill, and little by little, Bill is feeding her these like little bits of like communication. She starts feeling for Bill, and by the end of the first act, I think we have our moment of like, oh my God, Bill the Lobster is talking to me, and I need to save him. Boom. Okay, we're set off on our journey. This is if we're using a 5-act structure, by the way, Adam. I tend to use a 5-act structure instead of a 3-act. But anyway, so act two then is kind of setting, we start getting our action sequences and whatnot, so setting things in motion. So Gomi is going to break Bill out, right? I think it's maybe her coming up with her plan to escape. She knows that if she does this, she's done for, and maybe we have a couple more scenes with her uncle and whatnot about trying to decide, like, because if she does this, she pretty much is giving up her dream of becoming like this, you know, wildlife preserver and whatnot.
And but, at the same time she's following her actual like morals to
preserving wildlife.
Right, it's the two sides of the coin. Like, where does she want the professional accolades of being a wildlife preserver, or does she actually want to preserve the wildlife?
So, can we talk about Gomi's parents? What do we think?
Dead.
Were they more of the moral, like the good morals and whatnot that she, that, you know, is that where she gets it from? Or do we think, like, was her dad like, was he a wildlife preserver and that's why she wants to be that? Or
absolutely. Just how her uncle is a wildlife scientist in his own way. I think both her uncle and her father were both wildlife scientists, but he was like the good version of that, and the uncle's the yin to the yang version of that, basically.
Right. Okay. So then... So she enacts this plan. Now, here's something. In the comics, Gomi has superpowers. I'm not sure if we want to even give her superpowers, at least not in the beginning of the movie. Maybe towards the end she's taken. Like, they go back for Dawn, she gets taken.
Yeah.
Bill and Dawn now have to come back and save her somehow, something like that. But when she's taken, she's experimented on. Like, her uncle told her, like, if you know, you're the experiment or whatever. So then she becomes experiment. She becomes their first human experiment, and then she is given powers and whatnot.
You know, it would be interesting if the uncle says something like, I've been doing this genetic research for a long time now, and I've been trying to figure out how to give myself powers. But am I stupid enough to inject myself with this? Hell no. But did I have to find a person that has the genetic makeup close enough to me to find out if this would work or kill them? Yes, I did. And then she uses to inject the niece so that he can know if it will give him powers or it will kill him.
That was a direct quote from the movie too, by the way. So that's good.
Yeah, for
sure. Good. amazing. So we have Bill escaping with Gomi. excuse me. I think Act Two is mostly just Gomi helping Gomi coming up with her plan, kind of getting her things together, and then like we have this scene where she infiltrates the lab in the middle of the night. She steals the access card and she goes and she goes back inside and she saves Bill, and they're running away, and the whole time Bill's trying to communicate with something with her, but she keeps not listening. She can't listen. She's got it. She's deep and distracted. She's taking down, she's like sneaking past guards and stuff like that. And eventually they make their way out, and they're safe, and they go to this hotel just to give a little nod to Dunstan Jackson.
And she has to hide this foot-long 10-pound, and like it's in her backpack, and like you see his claw come out, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
I want the claw to grab the zipper and like close the backpack the rest of the way.
Exactly. By the way, I want a moment when they're getting out of there and there's a guard that's about to stop them, and they like pull a gun on him, right? And she's like she's freaked out and she's afraid that they're going to get shot. And all of a sudden the guard drops the gun and starts doing his hand like pinchers and walks back and forth and then starts licking the ground as if the psychic lobster basically like goes into his head and turns him into a lobster, and he starts trying to lick the ground to eat, like, because they're ground eaters. I think that would be really funny.
That actually reminds me, can we, and you guys can veto this if you want, but I think it's much more interesting if these lobsters are literally just regular lobsters with psychic kind of powers and whatnot.
Yes.
So they don't necessarily have immense strength.
Right.
So they are super fragile.
Not immense strength, Justin, just slightly more than a regular lobster.
Sure.
I want to see that portrayed somehow. That's so fucking funny to me. Slightly more than a regular lobster. I want to see a regular lobster try to push something and it not work, and then Bill push it a little bit.
That's so good. I think that can happen in the first act when we see Bill being experimented on, and we see we have a regular lobster and he can't, and then we have Bill just kind of, and he's, and the, you know, the Uncle Ramon is like, slightly stronger than a normal lobster.
Yes, exactly.
It's working. So they're at the hotel. She's like, what did I do? Oh my gosh. Like, I'm in so much trouble. By the way, I'm picturing her being like 12 years old. I don't know about you guys.
She has to be in the laboratory. So I feel like she has to be 18.
Okay. Okay.
That's just my own opinion. If she's a lab assistant, I think she has to be 18 years old. She can be a young 18, but she has to be 18.
Okay.
Am I wrong in that?
I mean, no, you're legally right. I like the idea that if it's better for her to be 18, that's cool. I like the idea that she's younger and a little more like naive in the world. But maybe her uncle maybe she's not supposed to be working at the lab. Maybe like he tells her she's a lab assistant, but really he just uses her for like
because he's going to
free labor,
using her the way he's going to use her anyways, right?
Right. So he's telling her like that this is actually an internship, but it's really just a bullshit. Like he's just, so he doesn't have to like find care for her or like take, put her to school or something.
Dude, let's just marvel it real quick. Make her 16 years old and a genius.
Great.
Perfect.
We just marveled it. Perfect.
The old Marvel treatment. 16
year old is there. Done.
So she's got this. Her and Bill, she's like freaking out. She's trying to figure out what to do. And she's like talking to him. And we have our first full conversation with him, with Bill and Gomi. And Bill says, like, you know, basically, like, thanks for your help, but you left my brother back there. She's like, oh no, I didn't even realize why would she leave the brother if she's the one who helped capture both of them?
Probably because her brother didn't say anything to her and she had to run. You know, that's what I'd imagine, that she grabbed him and ran didn't think anything of him.
Just wasn't thinking about it.
And earnestly, that's just another lobster to her. It doesn't really matter. It's only that this one's talking to her is the reason why she's doing all this. Whenever he then says, no, that's my brother, she can be like, wait, you guys have families? Like, you guys really have family orders? You really have, you know, like that whole breakdown of like that humanity, what we think of, you know, as human things also exist inside of their lobster culture.
Okay, yeah, I buy that. So so we move on. Now we have our problem. Oh no, Don is still back there. Are we gonna go back and get him, or are we just gonna try and get away? So I think this is where we have she's hungry. And so why don't we chat about this at, you know, I think we have to somehow get to Red Lobster here. this is when we really can see that Bill, we get our first inkling of the fact that Bill can help like awaken different, like other lobsters basically. And like,
instead of, we might have to change it from Red Lobster then. Could it be some sort of like food court situation?
Sure.
That like she's eating somewhere else, but then Bill sees like the lobster tank somewhere at another restaurant.
It could be this is all taking place in Japan, remember, too. So there are a lot more fish. There are a lot more like seafood places and so forth around. And lobster and that type of stuff would be more apt to be in whatever restaurant she'd go in.
I like it being like an outdoor marketplace type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she's walking on topical. The pier or something like that.
Are you saying it's a wet market?
It is.
It is.
I mean, I'm not lying. Cool. So then we're there. She's getting some food as they're chatting and whatnot. And Bill starts to, like, all around you see like these different seafood vendors like having problems, like they're taking a lobster out and they're gonna like, you know, boil it or something, and the lobster like, you know, snaps on them or whatever, and they start like kind of scurrying away, and she's like, what, oh my gosh, what's happening? And she starts getting the sense that like, hey, like this is what it's like, this is what Dad would have done, this is what it's like to be a wildlife reserver, like saving these creatures from being, I mean, I don't know if she's like, maybe not, maybe she doesn't eat meat or she doesn't eat,
totally, she should be vegan. I completely agree with you. She should be vegan.
So she's, you know, this is kind of like a statement piece. So that happens. We get our little, like, you know, seafood revolt.
Can I throw a thing in for the seafood revolt?
Yeah,
because. Because wouldn't it be great if there were music playing? And because this is a kitschy, very silly version of this, of a superhero movie, if all of the seafood started like a giant dance number in the place to scare everybody off, because Bill doesn't want to hurt people, but Bill does want them to stop eating the seafood. So what if they all like jump out and to whatever music happens to be playing in my brain, you know, celebrate jumps in. But it's just like all of them are literally like choreographed, like with their little like, shells and stuff dancing around. I would watch the shit out of that movie 9 times.
It's so good. I love it so much. Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
It's like Under the Sea. Oh, fuck me. It's basically Under the Sea.
It's called Out of the Sea.
Out of the Sea.
It's an original song. Yeah. For the movie.
Yeah. I mean, Disney owns both, so it's fine.
Right?
So we have, okay, so our act three begins with them, basically act three is them breaking back into the lab to try and save Dawn. So where we get just basically them with their whole, like, we have like a whole Ocean's 11 heist going on in act three.
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11.
So good. Oh, you know what? Oh my God, that's so good. Can part of their plan actually be getting the help of a lot of the sea life around the area? So we have like 11 different types of sea creatures helping out. Yeah. Because the lab of course is like on the pier, like out like at the like there's an it's a out on the ocean basically, and there's right. There's an elevator that goes down into the underground lab where like you can there's like the windows and whatnot that look out into the ocean
under the
ocean. That's so good. So
someone wheels in a cart and you see the cart go all the way down to the main laboratory, then out of the cart comes this little tiny crab that then does like this backflip and lands on the thing and then cuts the wire. And all of the lights go out.
It's delightful.
It's
so good.
So good. Exactly. So act three is our heist. They get to Dawn. They save Dawn. But in the process, Gomi gets captured. Bill, maybe there's an explosion of some kind. Bill and Dawn get blasted away. They cannot help. They blasted back into the ocean. Gomi... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Captured, and this is where we have our act four. Gomi has a real like serious chat with her uncle and whatnot, and we start to get the sense that he's going to use her in experiments.
But uncle, you can't do this. I'm human.
Human.
What is human?
Oh, good. Yes, yes. I like that. And then Bill, meanwhile, is back in the sea. Dawn, his brother, is like, hey, Bill, we did it. We're free. Let's just hit the road. And Bill's like, no, we must go back. Gomi is a friend. She will protect. She protected us. We must go back for her. I don't know why Dawn talks like a guy from Jersey and Bill talks like
it makes
like
a lot of sense.
I think
creature.
You nailed it, personally. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
And so Bill, act four is them coming back once more to fight. So I think we have they kind of organize and whatnot. Maybe Bill has kind of a long dark night of the soul with Dawn, where they are kind of, I mean, both Bill and Gomi have their long dark nights of the soul here. Gomi realizes, oh God, like, what have I done? Like, now I'm going to
her uncle begins the die. Experimentation on her too, I think, in this thing.
Like, for sure.
He injects her. You see, like, the IV bag go up on the thing. She's strapped down. Her eyes are fluttering dark. It goes into the water. We see Bill and Dawn talking. Then we see Bill, like, walking up on top of, like, a piece of broken ship. And he's looking out, and you see all of this like sea life out there. And because him and Dawn have been calling all this sea life to order, so they all start like piling up there. And you basically get almost Flight of the Valkyries style, as all the sea life starts up the side of the thing up towards.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like climbing up the fucking like cliff face and shit up towards it. That in my head, I see it almost as this just like they start. Coming together, and you start to see him forming this giant, like all amalgamed into a giant lobster in the
before,
water.
Yeah. So before we get the giant creature, can it just be them individually, like attacking the window? Because remember, it's an undersea lab, right? So they're just kind of pelting at the window. First, it's just like a squid. And then there's like a starfish, and then there's actually some like heavy hitters. And
yeah, it's all really small stuff at first. Like you see a little kelp,
Yeah, yeah. Like
what,
kelp, what's going
and then
on?
All of a sudden, you see thousands of fucking kelp just
yes
at the window, just smashing into it.
So they, I think what they have to do. So the experiments are happening, and she is changing and whatnot. And then, this is right as it gets to the breaking point where like they're gonna go too far and like actually like end up like seriously damaging Gomi. That's when the like rain hitting the like you know hitting the what and then it starts to kind of crack and break through, and he's like, oh my god, like we have to get out of here, and they run upstairs leaving Gomi. Go ahead, Andy.
Do they have the giant seal like already locked and loaded? Like
so I'm thinking that's like their secret weapon for Act 5, because mm-hmm. basically what's happening is they have this siege happening, they rescue Gomi, but you know, this is their ultimate like escape plan, or
yeah. I think maybe what could happen is maybe they do escape with Gomi originally, and then they release the bad scientists release the giant seal, and somehow maybe the giant seal like hits Gomi, or it looks like Gomi is down for the count, essentially, and then we have this giant sea creature battle. And then Gomi, we realize, recovers because the experiment worked, and now Gomi has these powers and is able to kind of come to the rescue of the lobsters.
This is how I foresee that scene going, and I absolutely love that idea. There's this giant, you know, amalgamation of sea creatures fighting the giant seal. The giant seal hits the amalgamation and it breaks apart, right? It's like it, because it's not, you know, actually solidified. So it breaks right. apart in the middle, and everything starts to go flying. And you see both Don and Bill go flying out of where they were standing. And they're going like flying through the air, kind of like cartwheeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the giant seal's reaching forward, and then you see a big blast come out of the side of the screen and hit the seal. It's like, oh, like that, and then it like turns, and as it turns its seal head, the camera turns with it, and you see Gomi flying there, looking oh shit ton yes. like Marvel Girl,
yes,
oh shit ton like Marvel Girl, flying there with the sun at her back, and it's casting a rays all around her. And then the seal looks up and is like, arr! And then new Marvel Girl, Gomi, looks at the seal and goes, we don't have to do this. You're one of the creatures that I've sworn to protect. And the seal goes, arr! And like lunges at her. And then there's this like big beam of light hits the seal. And as the big beam of light hits the seal, you see a giant crab claw or a giant lobster claw that's like the amalgamation. Grab onto the seal, and it all falls down and everything, and as the energy pulls away, the seal's tiny again, because Gomi has the ability to pull out whatever bad crap that her uncle puts into him again, sure. the yin and yang. So sure. she pulls out all the bad crap in the seal. The seal's small again. She looks over, all the sea creatures disperse. The two lobsters crawl up her back, one lobster on one shoulder, one lobster on the other shoulder. They look at one another. The sun is still casting behind them.
One, I love all of that. One slight adjustment, though. Because I want there to be some sort of heart center of Bill and Don going back, when Bill and Don go back to save Gomi, before Gomi looks like she's perished and whatnot, I think Don has to like somehow sacrifice himself for Gomi's life, and in doing so, like he has a talk with Gomi, saying like you saved my brother and take care of him or something like that. And then Don like basically puts himself in the way of something and actually gets stepped on and crushed instead of Gomi. I don't know how he pushes her out, because he's got slightly more strength than a normal lobster, and so he pushes Gomi out of the way, and he gets crushed by the giant seal instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to add to that.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm in for it. I mean, hey, it's canonical. This fucker must get crushed.
This is too good. This is too good. I'm loving it. So I think that's our movie, you guys.
That's it.
That's a wacky little doodle. I love it.
Does it have a closing scene, like a shawarma scene?
Oh, for sure. There's definitely an after credit or two. I know one of them, and this is something that's going to tie it more into the MCPU, which is our Marvel Cinematic Podcast universe, by the way, Adam. So we've established a few other animal type heroes, excuse me, in this universe. So I think we see now I can't think of the name. What is the name of Squirrel Girl's
Tippy Toe.
Thank you. I think we see Tippy Toe.
Or Bazooka Joe, right? Tippy Toe's Bazooka Joe.
Well, Bazooka Joe, I think, was killed.
Yeah, he was killed. Movie. Tippy Toe came afterwards. Tippy Toe's the one with the bow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think we killed Bazooka Joe in our Squirrel Girl movie. Anyway, Tippy Toe is standing there, like basically Bill comes home. I wanted to mirror the exact scene from the end of Iron Man, where Nick Fury's standing there waiting for him. But I want it to be Bill the Lobster. He comes home, we hear the door close to his tank, and he just kind of swishes through the large tank he has inside of Gomi's apartment. And just sitting there in some sort of oh my god, it's literally Sandy from SpongeBob. It's a squirrel inside of an aquarium suit.
Oh my god.
Yes, she's of course there, it is.
And she's like, I'm here to talk to you about the Pet Avengers Initiative. I don't know. That's my squirrel voice for some reason.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm in for it.
And then that's what we set up the Pet Avengers, you guys.
Oh my
I think
God.
At the end, what you see is her in the little outfit, right? The little astronaut in the water outfit. And then I think you hear. And then under it, it's like
yes, captions.
We need to talk about the initiative, right? And then it flacks out on Bill's face as like his squirrel fedora. He takes his squirrel fedora off with his
horn. So good. I love it. I think the other one can just be Gomi. I think the end of the movie, really, we get a sense that Gomi is going to not be a typical hero, but rather protect wildlife and use her powers for the good of especially like that whole Pacific Ocean area, the oceanic Australia and like Japan, just all the helping all the wildlife of the world, basically. So she can have a cool hero name like the Preserver or something like that.
The Life Preserver.
What's something like with eco? The like eco warrior.
Yeah. The
economist.
Well, you're thinking of that. I think so. That's the end of the movie. But I think the other end credits scene that we get is actually what I was talking about earlier, where we see the lab burning, or like not burning, but the lab is like shut down and destroyed and whatnot. And we see like a limousine pull up and like the window rolls down and we don't see him, but in shadow, we just hear a voice of like Mr. Sinister basically saying like, what a disappointment or something like that. And then, the window scrolls up. The limousine goes, yeah, we see the red glow on the forehead. I love that. The limousine goes off and then we kind of like pan over and we like see like the burnt, for the first time ever, we see the burnt like the name of the building basically, and it just says Essex Corporation or whatever. Awesome. So
I think I got the name.
Okay.
The Reforester.
The Reforester. I like it.
With the power of reforestation.
Awesome, you guys. This is great. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have a special little interview with one of our main characters here, featuring Adam. So we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
you think you're good enough to join the Pet Avengers, we just have a couple of questions for you. From me, Tippy Toe, the squirrel.
Thank you so much, Miss Tippy Toe. It's very nice to be here. I'll try my best.
That's a good point, Devil Dinosaur.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm not 100% comfortable with Devil Dinosaur being here, considering he smashed my brother into pieces of shell.
That's non-canonical anymore. That's only in the comics that happened. Not in the
movie. I know more than just this Earth.
Oh, well, that really puts you in the head then in this interview process. If you know more than this Earth. Wow, that's really impressive. I do have to say, though, something that concerns me is that you don't necessarily have super strength. You're just kind of slightly stronger than a regular lobster.
Puny. Weak.
That is going to be very much considered on who I'm fighting. If I'm fighting someone the same strength of a normal lobster or less, I do have super strength. But if it's a person who has above average lobster strength, then I'm at a disadvantage.
All right, well, at least you're honest about that. I appreciate that. Honesty goes far in the Pet Avengers, for sure. We're really looking to be more adorable than anything else. So what can you do, Bill the Lobster, that is incredibly adorable?
Well, I do look like an above average size sea bug. So for the people who find sea bugs adorable, I'm adorable. But for people who find sea bugs not adorable, well, I guess I'm at a disadvantage.
All right, more honesty. I appreciate that.
I can relate to that. Not everyone finds me adorable either.
Well, you know, what's important in the Pet Avengers is having a diverse range of adorability. So I think I cover, honestly, myself, a lot of the bases.
But I was going to say.
Yeah, we can't all be adorable squirrels with bows in our hair.
You're right, you can't. But me, Tippy Toe, I can. I can do that. All right, last question. Last question, Bill. We need some sort of, kind of dark origin story, where you come from, what you need to kind of prove to the world situation. Do you have anything like that?
Well, me and my brother were the happiest of lobsters, bottom feeding on the ocean floor, when suddenly one day a net came and scooped both of us up. We thought ourselves explorers in a new universe. But they thought us as nothing more than a pincushion to stick chemicals in. Ooh. Suddenly, one day my mind began to be able to leave my antenna and into others' heads. On that day, I found my way out. But Don wasn't so lucky. Don had yet to find sentience. He was stuck there, not knowing what was good or what was bad. On my further adventures, I found my way back to Don. And when I did, he had discovered right and wrong. He had discovered sacrifice. And in that moment, he decided he must sacrifice himself for the good of me and my newfound companion, Gomi. He dove under that giant seal, and he was crushed. I knew I could never be my brother, but I'll spend the rest of my life trying to make that sacrifice worth it.
Dang, all right, yeah, I got that passes for sure.
Yeah, it works for me. Well, sounds good.
All right, welcome to the Pet Avengers.
Yay!
All right.
Claw, clap.
Claws.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
A claw.
Oh, man. Adam, it was a blast having you on. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, dudes. That was a blast to do, so thank you so much.
Yay. Adam, do you have any social media that you want people to follow you, check you out, stuff to plug, anything?
You can follow me on Instagram at Adam versus Adam, which is ADAMVSATOM. And you can also follow me on Twitter at I don't know. Just search my name, Adam Helcher, on Twitter, and you'll find me. I think it's AdamCH85 is what my Twitter is, which is a shitty Twitter, so no one should have that.
Amazing. I forget our Twitter all the time, and it's simply at MC Who Podcast, so it's okay. You can follow us there or on Instagram at the same handle, at MC Who Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at the MC Who Podcast, the Facebook group. Yeah, we're going to keep bringing you some sweet, sweet content here with people like Adam. So thanks again for joining us, man.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Until next time.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And celebrate good times. Come on.
When this mutiny twirl, mutiny twirl, traveling in the sky on the X-Wing.
Mutant haters, William Stryker tries to kill me and my friends. When this mutant meets world.